Hi, I'm Philip Shepherd. It's my pleasure to welcome you to this amazing once-in-a-lifetime conference, and especially to the Meditation and Breathwork channel, which I'm proud to be sponsoring because meditation and breathwork are essential to my teachings. I'm the founder of the Embodied Present Process, or TEP, which is based on my two books and is taught worldwide. And here's one thing I believe about meditation and breathwork. You limit your experience of both if you imagine that your mind is just the thoughts in your head. Your mind permeates your every cell. Every stirring of energy within your body is an expression of it. So, if you wish to calm your mind, the most direct route is to develop the skills that enable you to feel the body's energy and ground it in the spaciousness of the present. That's what my work is about. If that appeals to you, I hope you'll check out my two presentations, one on this channel and one on the main stage. You might also be interested in a special offer exclusive to the Embodiment Conference to listen to one of my embodied meditations for yourself for free. You can find a link to the special offer in the description of this presentation or on the show notes. And now, enjoy the presentation.
Carol, I'm so happy to have you. You are a holistic therapist, certified breathwork trainer, and an advanced clinical hypnotherapist. You've trained in integrative and cathartic and rebirthing breathwork along with hypnobehavioral therapy, among many others. And Carol has a professional focus in the mind-body connection and the emotional process and its relationship to the physical and the psychological health. Carol has also developed the integral breath therapy and the integration process therapy modalities for professionals. So, Carol, thank you so much for being with us at the Embodiment Conference, and go ahead, and it's all yours.
Thank you. Well, it's such an honor to be here. And of course, when I was invited, I was thrilled because embodiment has been what it's all about for me. In my own personal journey, I found this work because of the mind-body connection. My background is in the medical profession. Many people come to breathwork from the psychological point of view or from holistic therapies or meditation. For me, this is the work that saved my life. And I'm totally dedicated to teaching it, sharing it, making it available to as many people as possible. I had chronic migraines. And when they wanted me to take a daily medication, I refused. Something's causing it. I want something to change. I want it to change. I want to bring myself back to wholeness. So the journey took me about 15 years, and I've been teaching and working clinically with other people for almost 30 years. And it's the most rewarding work you could even imagine, watching miracles happen day after day after day. So integral breath therapy really evolved from my private practice first, and then it went into working with groups, and then it went into teaching professionals as I continued to train in altered state modalities. What I loved about hypnotherapy was I learned a lot about working psychologically with my clients. Then I managed to bring it back to myself when I realized that when you have a leader, when someone is leading the process, it's not the same as when it comes from inside you. So we work with what Stan Grof calls the inner healer, the inner teacher. I believe in that as well. It's the same thing. There's a part in us that knows exactly what needs to happen to come back to wholeness. So the Bridging the Gap to Wholeness is a workshop that I've done many times over the years, and I've been doing it online more recently because we have a weak link. So I want to talk about what that means and how it works, and then we're going to end with an exercise that is a regression exercise, but I didn't get it from hypnotherapy. I was using it long before I came to the topic of being a hypnotherapist. Now I don't do any hypnotherapy. I haven't for quite some time because when you take the natural organic approach, you're going to go to places that a leader wouldn't even know to take you. It's natural organic comes from inside the client. So I always say there's three kinds of therapists in the world, the kind that get in the water and or sit on the edge of the riverbank and show someone how to swim. And then there's one to get in the water and go through the motions and teach you how to swim. And then there's the kind that we are. We swim along with the client, not too far ahead and not too far behind, always being completely present with where their process takes them. So I have prepared a PowerPoint. So let me see how we do with getting that up. So, okay. So integral breath therapy. In the beginning, I called what I did the integration process. I never called myself a breath worker. I never called myself a rebirther because what was that? I mean, how would we explain what that was? There were so many different avenues that breath work took itself. So each one of us who are in the breath work field, we find our own way to express our unique gifts when it comes to the work. I found myself teaching the hypnotherapists how to do breath work. And then that organization became the vehicle that brought me to teaching my own training. And I have four levels of training that I teach. And it's just the most rewarding thing in the world. So breath, the access point. So you see the doorways, it's the way in. Nothing takes you in faster and deeper to just the right level for you than working with the breath. So it's an altered state experience. So it's similar to hypnotherapy in the fact that you create that altered state. The altered state meaning the theta brainwave state. That is the state of light sleep. It's the state of hypnosis. And when we work with the breath, we go to that exact same place that we do in hypnotherapy, only you take yourself there. So many people are anxious about turning their will over to another. But if you are allowed to go where you need to go, it's a perfect combination. So it's an altered state awareness. And in that altered state, magic happens. So the breath is the bridge between the conscious and unconscious mind. So if you look at our conscious awareness, and then we look at our unconscious levels, there is a small space between the unconscious and the conscious levels that is bridged when we work with the breath. So it's been explained that way many times over the years, and it seems to be very, very true that when we use the breath, we actually go into that level of unconsciousness that gives us access to so much more information than we would have in a conscious waking state. So the breath tells our story. So in our work, we teach distortions in breathing as a diagnostic tool. So we use inquiry, analysis, and we look for the distortions. So I can watch somebody breathe and see if they have anxiety disorder, see if they suffer from depression, see if they were physically or sexually abused at a young age, to see if they are suppressing their emotions. All of this shows to a trained observer, and it's amazing how accurate it is. And can you imagine being a therapist or some kind of a healthcare provider, and then you see something happening in a person's breath? All the information you get from just watching that person breathe gives you so much more ammunition to support that person in their healing journey. The average person breathes between 18 and 20,000 breaths every day, and 70% of the toxins are eliminated during the exhale. Only a small percentage of toxins are eliminated through perspiration, defecation, and urination. So, you know, when it comes to your health, your physical health, the breath is amazing. First of all, the body needs a constant supply of oxygen. The brain needs a constant supply of oxygen. And so if we are not breathing, I hardly breathed at all. I was a frozen breather. That represented, now I can look back and I know the truth of that I had early abuse as a child. I would breathe maybe 8 breaths a minute, sometimes less than that. I would hold my breath all the time. If a person is sitting there and all of a sudden they go, and they, you see a pattern of that, probably they're holding their breath a lot. And so when we work with the breath, we work with the basic circular breath, and we have 5 different kinds of breathing exercises we do. For the most part, in our first level of training, we work with 2. And then we go to the advanced training, we add 1, and et cetera, et cetera. So a lot can happen energetically when we begin to move the energy of the breath through the body. So this is how we look at a human being, not as a cake exactly, but it does show the layers that I'm a multidimensional being. So we have these 4 levels of who we are. We divide them up in the process of teaching to our students who are working with others, as well as anybody who, when I was working with the public, I was also teaching. I was teaching my clients more about themselves and how to look at the inner process and what motivated them and where their reactions came from and what they believed that was creating, continually creating the similar pattern in their life, from failed relationships to being emotionally upset all the time. So this layer cake says a lot. Now, if I would take it and look at this cake and make it flour, sugar, shortening, and eggs, by the time I mix it up and put it in the oven, it doesn't look like this. You can't tell where one begins and the other ends. Well, we're like that too. It's like we can't tell where one begins and part of us begins and part of us ends, because it's all interconnected. But by dividing it up, we can learn particular skills around how to free the body. We can use skills to work with the emotional anatomy. And then we have the mental or intellectual layer, which is where we hold our beliefs. And the spiritual level is, that's just who we are. That's sort of the glue that holds it all together. So, but we do teach them in particular layers, and we're going to play with that tonight, including doing an exercise that shows you how all these layers are interconnected. It's one of the simplest and most powerful exercises I've ever come across. It will do, people will go to the most amazing places if they just relax into the breath. So let's start with the physical. I am a physical being. I have a body, but I'm not just my body. And coming from a medical background, working with catastrophically ill children, you know, you could see the light shining through the eyes of these children who had devastating diseases. You could see that there was a lot more than just something physical going on with these children. The light in their eyes would just be enough to bring you back another day, because we lost a lot of the children who were patients in the clinic that I was involved in. And I was like a specially trained medical tech. They didn't have social workers like they do today for cancer kids, but then they trained their own staff long before that became popular. And I was lucky enough to be one of those people trained in that area. So I was bridging the medical and the psychological, emotional as well. So one of my most important trainings came from bioenergetics. So this is one of my favorite quotes. The events from your past are inscribed upon the tablet of your flesh. And today, your body shows your life story so clearly. So what happens is all of our wounds, the body remembers everything that's ever happened to it. And, you know, it's like a lot of modalities, they just say, oh, this will change everything. But, you know, some of the modalities that are just more superficial, this is going to change everything. It didn't. Why? Because the body has to have its day. The body has to have a chance to release what's being held. And that's where the freedom comes. Of course, healing has to happen on all 4 levels or it's not complete. 75% of all illnesses brought to a doctor are directly or indirectly related to stress. A simple solution to stress is to breathe. Now, we know that if you breathe 6 breaths a minute for 10 minutes twice a day, you reduce anxiety and depression by something like 75 to 80%, no medication needed. So, you know, in our Western culture, we want a pill to fix everything. But if you can have the natural organic approach, then you're going to accomplish all of that without the side effects that come from taking medication. So the physical body really benefits from the work that we do. And some people would started coming to me because one of my referral people, and when I first had my private practice, was a naturopath. And then there was a nutritionist. And they would find that their clients who had serious physical issues would sort of get to a certain point and then they would kind of stop. The progress just wouldn't go any further. They send them to me for a couple of sessions and then everything moved. So some of these people were in and out over several years as they proceeded to heal until finally both of those people came and did the training and then they could be me and themselves at the same time. Because if we move the energy in the body, something goes beyond what we're even aware of. So I'm an emotional being. How do I look at that? We teach emotional anatomy, who we are as emotional beings. This was the most important thing I needed to learn because I was totally out of touch with my emotions. My emotions were something I thought about. Love was a concept that was here, not here. Thank goodness that I reclaimed my ability to feel and my heart and the opportunity to love as I should have been able to love all along, starting with loving myself because I put myself at the bottom of the list always, like many people do today. So we look at emotions as E, energy in motion. So emotions will come up and they need to move through us. And if we don't allow them to move through us, they get trapped in the physical body. Energy has to move and it will stick around and wait for an opportunity to actually express itself. So we work with the core emotions. We have fear and all of we have a whole language around emotions. But if we cut to the chase, we have fear. And then of course, people say, oh, I'm not afraid, I'm just anxious. It's just small fear. Or then we have terror. So it goes to the other extreme. Everything's on a range. There's a continuum. There's healthy fear and unhealthy fear. Healthy fear sets boundaries. A healthy fear keeps us safe. It tells us not to walk down that dark alley. Unhealthy fear keeps us trapped in our homes, keeps us out of relationships. So there, again, this split that we look at where we go from one and then there's a range within that split as well. So anger is the emotion that sets boundaries. And I thought that anger was all bad because my father was a rageaholic. And so for me to get angry for the first time, it was like, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't want to be like him. So I couldn't get angry. So I couldn't say no. I had to say yes to everything and everyone who wanted something from me. So learning to say no was a really big one. And then I found out that, you know, my life was easier when I could, and anger doesn't have to be loud. It is like, that's not okay with me. You know, I learned to say no in a way that people could hear it. Yelling doesn't do any good. Pretty soon people don't hear a thing because they don't hear, they can't hear you. They just immediately go into reaction. So healthy anger keeps us, sets boundaries. Unhealthy anger hurts people, like it did with my father. You know, he would lash out and then things would, you know, he knocked me down a flight of stairs. I could have died. He didn't mean to. His anger went out of control. And then there we were in a pickle. Sadness is a natural expression of loss. If we're human, we will have loss. We'll lose somebody we love. We lose our furry friends. We lose our a good friend. We have losses, and it's appropriate to express that loss. Every tear you've never cried is still inside. So when I started to open up, I cried for 2 years. I cried a lot for 2 years. Now, it wasn't as though I wasn't functional. I was, but it didn't take much to bring the tears up for me. And it was such an important step in my growth and in my healing was to touch that well and step by step. And this is one of the things I like about the breath. You will go one step at a time. You will not fall into the, you know, we know how to work with people so that they're not overwhelmed by the tears that come. So then we have guilt and shame, and they feel very much alike in the physical body. So we have to be able to separate them. And sometimes they cross over a bit and makes it a little more complicated to sort of separate. Guilt is an experience of ourselves that we've done something wrong. It's fear of abandonment, fear of punishment. Shame is an experience of ourselves as defective. So if you know who I really am, you'll have nothing to do with me. So, we do is then that means we hide. So guilt, we need to correct. Shame is an opposite thing. It's not natural to us. It's been put on us. We absorbed it. We took it on from our parents, from our childhood, from our religions. We learned to be ashamed of something that was not natural. So, and what I found when I was traveling in different parts of the world was that people felt guilty about different things in different cultures because based on the rules. So here's a little thing I put together to show this is what happens to many of us. The split again, plug or flood. So what we do, see the plug, it wants to go in and hold back our emotions. And so in order to do that, we have to numb ourselves, we have to hold ourselves, or it floods and we're overwhelmed. And neither one are good choices. That when we work with the breath, we come back into balance in a natural way, because if we hold back our anger or our fear or our sadness, we also hold back our feelings of love, joy, and happiness, because it all comes out of the same faucet. You hold back one, you hold back them all. So here's how we heal the core emotions. Fear needs to be resourced. So if there's fear, what do? We create a sense of safety. The healed quality of fear is courage. Anger, we need to release. So you need to kick, yell, use a tennis racket, use a punching bag and express it. And the outcome is authentic power. Sadness needs to be released. Every tear you've never cried is still inside. We need to express that. And then out of that sadness, because it's held in the heart, comes compassion. Guilt needs correction. So we need to write a letter. We need to apologize. We need to make it right in some way. And then when we do, we have self-respect. Now, shame needs to be released because it's not natural to us. So we breathe it into a pillow. We toss it away. We write it on a piece of paper. We burn it. And then out of that comes wisdom. And then the emotion of hate needs to be explained for a lot of people. Hate is love betrayed. So you cannot hate someone if you didn't want their love in the first place. Now we might project that love onto someone, you know, like a politician. We can take our betrayed father who betrayed us and we put it onto the politicians. And now we have like, oh, I hate that person. They don't really hate that person. They really hated their father. They felt betrayed as a child. And this was a big one for me, ego-centered selfishness versus universal self-centeredness. I really hated people I thought were selfish. So then I hated people who were selfish. Guess what? I had selfish people in my life who thought only about themselves. Universal self-centeredness means I'm important, but not more important than anyone else. And that we all have a place in the world and a reason to be here. So in these core emotions, I like this little slide because what we do is we funnel them. This is not mine. I probably need to redo it. But here we have our defenses. We go into addictions. We gamble. We disconnect. We are busy. We get busy so we don't have to feel or pay attention to what's going on. And here, what I like about this one is it has anger as secondary, which I mentioned, because it's really about fear. Fear is the fuel that fires anger. And so anybody who has anger issues has got to do their fear work before it'll come back into balance. So here are just other expressions of all of that. And hurt is an emotion that I find is a combination of others. It's not so much an emotion by itself. If our feelings are hurt, maybe there's fear, maybe there's sadness. So if you look carefully, you'll see that it's a combination of one of those others. So emotion has its root in the unconscious and manifests itself in the physical body. So it's been stored, and it will emerge as soon as it builds to something, will trigger it, and then up it comes. So we think more than 80,000 thoughts every day. Actually, they say that maybe today we think more like 120,000 thoughts because of technology. The mind is racing so fast anymore. If we watch our thoughts, our beliefs will reveal themselves to us. So our beliefs create a reality. So we have been programmed like a biocomputer. Now, here's when this piece of information research showed that children up until about the age of 6 are functioning in the theta brainwave state. That's a state of hypnosis. So that means that we've been hypnotized through those years. And it's like, we don't think to ourselves, maybe mom's having a bad day. It's all about us. And we just take it all on. And now they've proven how that happens. So we are biocomputers. In fact, computers were designed after us. So if you want to know what you really believe, make a list of all your thoughts and you'll find that your beliefs will reveal themselves. So perceived challenges trigger emotions, which then activate the belief along with a pattern from the past. So here we just have two images that show you how what happened in childhood plays itself out in adulthood. And this is how it goes until we make the changes and do the healing that's needs in order to change this pattern. Our defense mechanisms. We basically withdraw or lash out. And that means lashing out is all the abuses, threatening behaviors. And then with withdraw, that we may abandon, avoid. We can be like Italian, you're dead to me kind of thing. And passive aggressive behaviors where we ping pong back and forth between the extremes. So what we do in our work is we provide corrective experiences, because that's what changes. And when you go into this theta brainwave state, that is this where the programming is, you want to get into the programming, you got to go back into the program. How the best way to get there is to be in the same mental state, the same brainwave state that when it was programmed, when you go back there into that same programming, then you can change it, because the unconscious mind does not know the difference between what's real and what's imagined. And in that theta state, it's as real as life. And I can tell you 100 stories of how that's played out. So we leave behind the old story and rewrite a new version that reflects who we truly are. So you're not stuck with the old story. You want change? You can have it. You can use your breath and rewrite that story. And we're going to give you a chance to do that in just a few minutes. So a circle of breath creates a circuit of energy, which builds to clear and energize the system. So when we work with the breath, what it does is builds an energetic charge, and it begins to flush our system so that it's clean and clear once more. So I'm just looking at the time. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back. We're going to go now and do the exercise, because I don't want to run time short. Do we have any questions about that, or should I just go on? Anything we've done so far?
Keep going.
Okay. So what I'd like you to do, if you want to get the most from this experience, then choose a situation that upsets you. So whatever it is that you can think of that has an energetic charge. So when you think about it, it just wrangles your nerves a little bit. An experience, it could be recent, it could be further back, that still upsets you when you think about it. Okay, so I want you to take that experience, and I want you to close your eyes. And then I want you to begin to breathe through your mouth. Well, thank you. Kevin says this is better than the debate. Very nice. Thank you. So I want you to connect your breath and just a nice, gentle, circular breath, full, but yet relaxed. And I don't want you to think about what you've chosen to work on quite yet. I want you just to go into the breath and relax a little bit, and so that you can just clear your mind. And not, don't worry about whether you're doing it right or not. If you just breathe in and out through your mouth, you'll just do fine. And this is our basic breath that we teach anyone. This is a breath that anybody can use no matter what their physical health is or anything else. Some of our other breaths are a little more energetic, and then we have to be a bit more careful. So choose that, go to that experience that you decided to explore and let it come to life in your mind. So remember who was there and what's happening. Notice the situation as it unfolded. Continuing to breathe. Remember any words that might have been spoken, watching the actions take place. So, what are you feeling? What are you feeling right now? Fear, anger, sadness, guilt, shame. Notice the thoughts you're having. What are you thinking right now as you experience this? And where are you feeling this all happening in your body? Notice if there's a particular place in your body that you're experiencing this. How did you react? How did you react when this took place? The thoughts were you were having, and what conclusion did you reach about yourself or others or life? What are you thinking? And now let go of this image, but stay connected to the feelings and let yourself go to an even earlier experience, a time that felt similar in some way. The circumstances could be completely different, but the feelings are the same or similar. Allow this situation to unfold, continuing to breathe. Letting the feeling surface. Let the experience be as real as you can make it, noticing who is there, what's happening. Remember any sounds or any words that were spoken. Watch the interactions take place. What are you feeling emotionally as this story plays out? Are there any physical sensations? Or do you feel those emotions in your body? And what thoughts are you having as you revisit this experience? And then, how did you react when this happened? Did you lash out or withdraw? As we go backwards, it could be very possible that the situation, your feelings, you're going deeper into the experience. So relax into it. So what are your thoughts? How did you react? And what conclusions did you reach? I'm not good enough. I'm not lovable. There's no one here for me. I'm alone. So now allow this situation to fade. and allow one more to come, a time that felt similar to this, when you were even younger. That you felt a similar way, even though the circumstances could be completely different. But somehow the feelings are similar or the same. Allow this situation to unfold, noticing where you are, who else is there with you. Watch the situation unfold, especially remembering anything that was said. Use all your senses to experience what happened. Notice the thoughts you're having in this situation. Thoughts you're having about yourself, about others, or about life. And then how did you react in this situation? Did you lash out or withdraw or a combination? How did you protect or defend yourself when this happened to you? And what conclusions did you reach about yourself, about others, or life in this experience? Feel what's there. Keep breathing, letting the emotions kind of flow through you. And then one last time, let this image fade. And this time, let yourself go to the youngest time you ever felt like this. You're the age of a child. Trust whatever you're experiencing. And notice what the child is feeling and what's happening around the child. What is the child saying about his or herself? What belief is forming in the mind of this child? Be aware of what the child needed or wanted at that time. If some emotion starts to emerge, allow it. This is a chance to heal. If the child is there in front of you, can you reach out and bring that child into your arms and tell this child the truth? The truth is, you are lovable. Tell this child, I love you. I'm here for you. You are not alone. Whatever the child needed to hear, tell that child. If the child needs to tell you anything or ask you for anything, listen to the child. And can you provide it? The little girl in me, the first time I did this, said, tell me I'm beautiful. Because I was very premature and not very pretty. And that's how that child grew up, feeling homely. So just continue to be with that child, letting that child know how amazing he or she is. and that any thoughts or beliefs that child took on, they're all lies. They're not true. Tell this child, I will be here for you, always. And maybe it's a perfect time to tell that child that you make an arrangement with this child to spend some time with this inner child. You see, that story can be changed right here, right now. And if you feel you didn't go deep enough, you can use your breath and go back to this time and do another level of healing with this child. And I have a lot of meditations on my YouTube channel. I hope you join in on some of those. So take a breath, coming back to the room. You know, that was a little fast. I tried to hurry because I don't know where time goes. I had some music to play, but I couldn't find it. So I decided it was better just to stay with it. So we have a couple minutes, I think, for any questions, if you have them. And this, Stephanie said this made me cry. It's the simplest technique. And of course, no one could have taken me to those places within me. But when I trusted that inner healer in me to go there, I went to exactly where I needed to go. And I went step by step by step so that when I did remember my abuse, it wasn't a surprise. And this is what I love about the work with the breath. The only way you can get into trouble is if somebody pushes you. And this is what happens sometimes in other methods. The breath is organic. Step by step, our wounding didn't happen overnight. It's not going to heal overnight. Healing takes place in an instant, but preparing for it might take a period of time. And the breath is available to all of us to use to release our stress, to balance our emotions, to change our beliefs. And breath and spirit are this, the word means the same in many languages, same or similar in many languages. So we come back to who we really are, to our authenticity. So I'm not sure, I'd only got part of that question. Does anybody have something they want me to address in the 3 minutes we have left? Or whatever it is.
So Kevin, just wanted to get your thoughts on this quote from Osho. He said, I feel sadness gets a bad deal. The quote is, sadness gives depth, happiness gives height, sadness gives roots, happiness gives branches. Happiness is like a tree going into the sky, and sadness is like the roots going down into the womb of the earth. Both are needed, and the higher the tree goes, the deeper it goes, simultaneously.
So I start all clients with a grounding meditation. Because we're like a north and south pole. We need to be connected on both ends to be at our finest. And then, of course, as we expand, as our heart opens and expands, then that love just radiates out to touch everyone that we're around. So absolutely. Somebody asked about memory issues. And often we have memory issues because we've shut down because we don't want to remember. And this is what I love about the work with the breath, that when we're actually ready, those memories come back, because I didn't remember anything about my childhood. I remembered absolutely nothing, but they were overwhelming. So of course I put the plug in. So what I did is I held in, I held on, I held back, I held out. I was holding everywhere. So there I was, like as stiff as a board, like I was shrink wrapped. You know, I was just so contracted. And, you know, so it opened my heart, it opened my body, it changed my life, it saved my life. Because how long will you survive if you've got one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake? Because I was the energizer, I was going 100 miles an hour, but I was so held back. How long would I last? Not long. Like, your vehicle's not going to last long if you're holding that much energy that tightly. The heart's going to give out, your energy system will give out. So when we breathe, Somebody feels really raw right now. I saw that flash up. So here's what I'm going to suggest if you're feeling really vulnerable and open. So grab a pillow, grab a puppy, grab somebody in your house and get a nice big hug. And just let yourself feel contained, loved, protected in this moment. That's what you do. And I had second thoughts about doing this, but I think nothing explains the work better that we do than this. And it's such a great opportunity to heal. And it's also safe because we're not in a whole room with a bunch of people. People will hold back a bit more. If you're behind your computer or your tablet, you're more likely to let yourself drop in. Anything you discovered about yourself shows you where your work is. And I certainly encourage you to stay with it. Keep at it, keep breathing, because there's a whole world out there that opened to me when I stay committed to my breath.
I think that's beautiful. That's one of the biggest transformations that I've had, is using breath and using that to go into these spaces where I didn't want to look. And instead of using talk therapy only, breath was that gentle way, like you're showing us, right, how to go back down those steps.
Well, and it's, you know, when we, there are places we won't go alone. I also say that because this is when the facilitator can make all the difference in the world, because I never would have gone to some of those places if somebody hadn't been with me, there with me, supporting me. And that doesn't mean there's a lot you can do on your own, because you can. And it is part of my life now. It's part of my staying connected to myself and to others, is to be with my breath on a daily basis.
That's beautiful. We have a question from Marion who's asking, what are some ways to deepen and develop belly breathing?
Oh, okay. So now we work with, so can I say my website, or, because I have a really great little, okay. So on integrationconcepts.net, I have a breathing meditation that explains it very shortly. And what we do is we fill the belly, fill the chest. So if you imagine that you have a glass and you're filling water in it, it's going to go to the bottom first. So this, we want to fill up like this, and then we spill out this way. So what we're doing is, this is the circle we create. The circle should not go this way, because that's the part of us that held everything back. So I was frozen. I was breathing backwards. I was holding my breath on the pauses. We do most of our holding on the pauses. So this is why the circular breath, the connected breath, makes such a difference. So it will walk you through that breath, and you can contact me if you want a sheet on that. I'd be happy to give you, you know, should I have sent something to you to share? Or could I? No. Okay.
I just shared, I just put your website in the chat box too. So
okay, good. Good.
Click on that and go directly to you.
Great.
Yeah, this has been so incredible. And to everybody who is watching, thank you for being here with us. Carol has just shared so much depth with us in just a small amount of time, and just expanding this and seeing how far you can take this on your own or with Carol and your integrative therapies, and how much deeper they can go in the onion, kind of.
Exactly. Whatever it is, wherever it takes you, it's worth the ride, because the benefits will more than make the difference. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So thank you all for joining me. It's thank you. It's such a pleasure to be with you, all of you. Thank you.
Yes, this was amazing. Thank you so much for being with us. And for all those watching, thank you so much for joining us with Carol and then at the Embodiment Conference. And if you want to, we have a link that I just posted in the chat where you can upgrade your upgrade what you have as your membership in the Embodiment Conference, so you can have everything, because I know that there's so much happening right now with the information that's coming and everything going in and out and all over the place. So this will give you the chance to own the entire library. So from all days, all presenters, all keynotes, everybody, you'll be able to actually have these, plus the notes, plus all the notes that people have taken on each talk.
Okay.
So you have a quick reference, and you'll be able to integrate this even deeper into your practices. So anyone who wants to do that, the link is in the chat box. Also with the Meditation and Breath Work Facebook group, link is in there. And if you want to go to any of the coffee break rooms and connect with all the other participants in the conference, that'd be amazing. And one last thing, Carol, what is your most, like your one juiciest tip for embodiment?
Well, it's my breath, working with your breath gave me back, it brought me to a relationship with my body that I hadn't had. And this is what I loved about the title of the conference, because that's what the breath does. It brings you into your body and everything else is in there. Your emotions, your mind and your spirit is all one. And when we start splitting off from parts of ourselves, and one of the places we split off the most is from our physical body or from our emotions. And then we wonder why life is not joyful. And because I feel like our natural state of being is love and joy. And when we hold back any part of ourselves, we pay the price. So to be embodied is to breathe. To breathe is to be embodied.
That's a beautiful way to put it. I really like that. Thank you so much again for joining us. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Panelists, you all were amazing. Enjoy the rest of your conference. Carol, have a beautiful night, and I'm definitely going to be contacting you soon.
Okay, great. Thank you. Bye, everyone.